It's The Bill Murphy Show, a daily one-on-one 30-minute interview featuring people from all walks of life. Available daily at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
And this is your digital broadcast for Tuesday, July 27th, 2010. Big show yesterday. I want to thank again Hall of Fame adult film star Randy West for joining us. That was a banner day for this show. And we hope you enjoyed that. And we continue to bring you compelling interviews with very interesting people every single day. Today, no exception. Today, we're welcoming in one of the new generation of sports announcers and the sports media that's coming up through the rankings these days. Andy Slater joins us from WFTL 640, right? Not the 850, the 640.
You got it, 640. I don't know how I follow yesterday's guest.
Not well, you know. Hey, you're pretty big in the industry yourself, right?
I try my best every day.
There had to be a one-liner in there somewhere. Unfortunately, that was a poor one that I just attempted. Hey, by the way, before we continue with Andy, I want to thank Lulu's Bait Shack. Gigantic fishbowl drinks, fresh Florida seafood. Lulu's in Beach Place on A1A in the heart of Fort Lauderdale Beach. A proud sponsor of the Bill Murphy Show. Andy, it's good to have you on, buddy. It's you had me on last, I guess, right before the 09-10 hockey season started, and I appreciated that. So this is the least I can do to try to return the favor.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. I enjoyed having you in the studio screaming out Panthers.
Oh,
remember, we finished the goal part. You only say the
That's right. And, you know, it's goal. It's not score, people. Any opportunity I have to tell people that, I just, you know, I'll do that. The most important thing here and the cool thing that I get to do is kind of do a role reversal with you and let you be interviewed. I know you constantly have to interview people, high-profile names, people that you're excited to interview. Sometimes you're forced to interview people that you're not that excited to interview. And now I get to just let you lay back and do the answering for a while.
Sometimes callers try to interview me. That's when we end the conversation. But this will be an exception. No problem at all.
And plus, I get to hear you with the telephone voice instead of, you know, the clear one. So Andy accomplished a lot in your short career, but I mean, you still got a long ways to go. And are you satisfied with the way things are going so far?
I am. I mean, really, I started doing what I'm doing or been in the broadcasting industry ever since I was a little kid. I mean,
you're still a little kid, Andy.
Well, thank you very much for that. I hope a lot of people think that. Growing up, going over to my next door neighbor's house and actually just putting in the cassette into the cassette recorder and doing play by play for games. And you probably hear that story a lot from a lot of people.
I did it myself. I did it myself, man. I know exactly how that is.
That's kind of how we all start. And, That's where it all began, and going through the ranks, going into studios, checking out all the equipment, watching people do their thing, and before you know it, you're part of it, and you just keep going higher and higher. And right now I'm at 640 WFTL. I've got the show on Monday through Friday from 12 to 3, a little cheap plug there.
No, of course. That's what we're here for, brother.
And I'm enjoying it. You know, get to talk to different people every day, whether it's via phone, whether it's them writing in, texting in, hopefully not when they're driving.
Right.
It's been awesome. I mean, something different every day. You never know what's gonna be on your plate.
Did you ever bring a tape recorder to a live sporting event and kind of test your chops there too? Because I know I did that. I don't know if you went that nuts on it.
No, I don't think I ever did. I don't think I ever did that. It was mainly doing play-by-plays of not only games, but also I recall doing one when I was probably like 7 or 8 years old of the NBA draft. Kind of like,
oh wow,
in the NBA draft when you knew every player that was getting drafted in the first two rounds as opposed to today. We were breaking down the NBA draft. I mean, this was probably like 24 years ago. But I don't think I ever did it in an actual sporting event.
You know, I got to stop you there for a second because you just touched on something that's always intrigued me about sports media people. Not to label them like that, but there's just something going on there that I can't relate to. I worked at KTCK, the Ticket in Dallas, for a while with those guys. Did the sports updates. I've been there. I know my ways around a sports newsroom, but I just couldn't hang with those guys as far as, okay, you need to speak for yourself when you say you knew everybody coming up in the first two rounds of the NBA draft. That's just not the case, man. That the people that can retain that information and then watch a game 4 years later, see a guy make a layup and go, yeah, he was drafted in the 42nd overall in the second round in the 97 draft. Hey, that stuff stays in your head. I don't think there's enough room in my brain for that information.
Sometimes, I guess at one point, Murph, there was, and a lot of it has exited, but I try to remember as much as possible. I'm big into baseball. I'm big into hockey. Of course, I love football. Basketball is probably the last on my list, but hey, now being here in Miami with, you've got the big three with LeBron, Wade, and Bosch and the rest of the crew, it's definitely something that you've actually, you know, you've got to stay on top of it. That being the Miami Heat, so kind of what whatever the scene is demanding, and that's kind of what we have to do right now.
Now, to use the LeBron, Wade, Bosch situation as an example, when all that stuff broke, and we're going to get into this because that and the Tiger Woods thing have been the two biggest stories this year, I think it's safe to say, but let's talk about how that happened, and you have to get yourself now in a three-point stance to do a show the next day. You start running through all the possible questions that are going to come your way. What are the fans going to call about? What are they going to complain about? What are they going to wonder? And I suppose one of the things you had to cover was who are going to be the other two guys on the court. So you just sort of scanned the rest of the NBA, the free agency situation, and did you do your homework there, or is it already there in your head?
You know what, Murph? In today's day and age, you know, we have the Twitter and we have the Facebook.
Your Google, yeah.
And we have all that. Plus, we have some really good beat writers down here in South Florida, not only for the Sun Sentinel, also
right.
for the Miami Herald, and then you've got some with the Palm Beach Post. And it's kind of hard not to look up things on your own when that information is in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You always want to go ahead and confirm things. You want to go ahead and think outside the box, something that these guys aren't covering.
Right.
But a lot of sports radio hosts, you know, we look at their information, use it as some of our own, you know, giving them obviously the credit to it. But we do scan around the league. You know, I was looking around the NBA like a Stephen Blake, thinking that he could be a possible fit with the Miami Heat.
Never heard of him.
You kind of heard a couple days later that Stephen Blake was in the mix.
Yeah.
And then he went out to the Los Angeles Lakers. But, yeah, you have to kind of keep up with everything going on because, look, you can have somebody call at any moment
and you
don't know what they're going to bring up. And mm-hmm. really the last thing you want to do is kind of be blank and not know what they're talking about. You know, it'll happen sometimes. Somebody will say a certain name and you really have no idea. But certainly you don't want that to happen when it's some sort of close to a star or maybe a mediocre to good player.
Mm-hmm.
You don't mind that happening on like the minor guys, maybe a guy, the 11th guy on the Minnesota Timberwolves. But certainly you try to stay on as much information as possible.
And even if it's something that you're not that excited about, I mean, you've got to have some sports that you like more than others. Have you found yourself studying on a sport that you weren't really into?
I think I would have to say the NBA right now would be that sport, and it's sort of always been. The NBA is kind of my least favorite. I look at the NBA more as entertainment. It's a sport, obviously, but I look at more of the entertainment value.
I think the NBA looks at it as more like entertainment too.
Yeah, and you're right. Some people know that, and then you have your NBA big time fans out there, your season ticket holders that say, you know, there's absolutely no way it's just entertainment, that this is an actual game. And
oh, yeah, no doubt.
But, I mean, look, the NBA is the only sport where they actually play music during the game.
Yeah.
And no other sport. They got to cut it out during the breaks. But
indoor soccer used to do that, too.
Did they? Yeah. I must have missed all those games.
Yeah, well, way back in the day, Andy, when we used to watch MILS in Dallas. And it was, I mean, the music would start, you know, play through the whole time. You between the Dwayne Wade and LeBron James and Bosch marriage, the other big story this year was Tiger Woods. When that whole thing broke, I mean, it was big news. Did you have any idea how long that was going to go on when it initially happened?
You know, I was actually on the air the day that story came out. I think it was the day after Thanksgiving.
Yes, it was.
And our boss at the station said, you know what, we scheduled a show for you guys the day after Thanksgiving, and we were on the air when that story first came out. And, of course, you never thought the dominoes were going to fall the way they did.
Yeah.
At first, it sounded very suspicious.
The mixed-up stories about the car accident.
Of course, and you're always trying to, at least I am, maybe not everybody, I'm trying to be the investigator myself,
yep.
Trying to put the pieces together, and of course, I was doing that, several other people were as well, but as far as the end result, I guess we really don't know exactly what happened that night. The only thing we know is that Tiger had a lot of fun in his playing career. And when you take that away from Tiger Woods, all the excitement, and look, it wasn't right what he did. He cheated on his wife, and he has kids as well, so it absolutely wasn't right. But you take that lifestyle away from Tiger.
And he's,
when Tiger's on the 17th or 18th hole on a Friday, he's no longer thinking about, oh, you know, I'm going to go back to the hotel, I'm going to have some fun tonight, and then I'm going to come back and play golf tomorrow. He doesn't think that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And now all he does is go out there and golf. And, you know, it's a whole lifestyle change for him. And I believe that's why he's not really doing all that well right now. He's certainly got a lot on his mind.
I know. I think we're all sort of quietly giggling about that. And it's sort of like the thing that nobody really wants to say. You know, you know all the analysts, broadcasters on the show, they all know. David Faraday and all those guys, they know what's going on. But they won't say it, you know. It's interesting because he's either got to go back to being Tiger, or I don't know how else he's going to, you know, how else he's going to get back to who he was.
Well, he certainly still has a lot of playing time ahead of him. I hear people say, you know, Tiger Woods will never win a major again.
Oh, come on,
please. Yeah, but we're talking about in the near future. Right now, he's obviously not on his game, not anywhere near it. But you know what? In 2 years, maybe even less, maybe it'll take another year. Things are going to pass by. Tiger will be Tiger, and I'm sure he'll be fine. Will he ever be the old Tiger Woods?
Who knows?
That I can't guarantee, but as far as winning a major, I think an 80 or 85% Tiger of what he was before
could still win a major.
Probably be good enough.
Absolutely. And there's still time for Tiger to grow up is really what it all comes down to. So.
Oh, without a doubt.
And speaking of growing up, let's go back a little bit and find out about how Andy Slater got started in sports. Tell me, I'll give you like four or five questions at once, because I know being the pro that you are, you can handle that. All right, so
no problem.
Where did you grow up? Where'd you go to school? Did you study to be in sports? And did it start as a little kid? And where did you get your first break and first job? That kind of thing.
Well, I've actually lived here in Miami my entire life.
You're a native South Floridian.
You know what? I'm probably one of about every, I'd say maybe one of four or five left down here in South Florida.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not that many remaining. So, yeah, I've lived down here my entire life. I went to school for a couple of years, college in New Hampshire at a smaller college called Franklin Pierce College.
Okay.
And what they did, I guess one day I opened up my mailbox and there was an advertisement in there. You know, they were trying to recruit me for broadcasting. And I said, you know what, let me check this out. And being down here in Miami for, at the time, it was 17, 18 years already, I said, you know what, I don't like walking out of my house and sweating. You know, I just had enough of that. I said, let me try something totally different where I would have to walk out of my room and I'd have to have on 9 or 10 layers.
Yeah.
Well, after I figured out you had to have on about 13 or 14, a couple years later, I said, you know what, I'm done with this this North stuff in New Hampshire. So I left there, and then I finished up college at Lynn University in Boca Raton.
Nice.
Where the weather, obviously, is pretty much.
They had a couple of nice-looking women in that school.
Yeah, definitely different than you had in New Hampshire. It's funny, in New Hampshire.
Well, they don't do too badly either.
Well, they don't, but when I first went there, and we get there in, I guess it's September, right around September when semester starts. You get there, and you're there for 4 or 5 months before you get your spring break. And I said, wow, you know, there's not much going on here as far as scenery goes to check out. And I come home for spring break. I go back to school. I guess it was sometime in April. And I thought I pulled up on the wrong campus, because what it is, and I didn't realize this being from Miami, is that you have all the ladies up there, and they're all wearing, you know, a lot of stuff because it's 10 degrees.
Sure.
You know, you don't have your bikinis on and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And when it came April and we pulled up on campus, then it was a totally different story.
Oh, yeah.
So somewhat comparable to down here, but I think South Florida takes the cake.
Yeah, no, that's how I grew up, Andy. Although I was used to seeing what April and May women looked a lot different up north than they did in October, November. So it was quite an adventure. All right, so continue. So then where did the big break come?
Well, going back previous, before college, I guess we could start in elementary school.
I mean, I know I can. So
yeah, we're definitely going back here. But like the morning announcements, you know, doing that.
Oh, cool.
Kind of stuff. Did that with the microphone on like the little regular desk in the library.
With the big black button that you had to hold while you were talking into it, yeah.
Yeah, something just like that. Even doing like the national anthem in the main office that'll go throughout the entire PA system. I think I messed that up one day, by the way, too.
Nice.
Middle school, pretty much did the same exact thing. And then when I was in high school, you know, it was more hands-on in high school. You absolutely have more equipment that you could deal with. And I got a call. I want to say her name is Maria Staub, and she had a program going on 790. And this was, I would say I was about 16 years old. And she said, Andy, you know, I want to have you on. And I'm doing like a teen helpline with teen issues.
Okay.
And I said, okay, you know, I'll go ahead and I'll host that. Now, I was always into sports. So I did this for a couple of weeks. And I said, you know what? I think I've got a good show going here with you guys. I can help you out. But I need to relate this somehow to sports. So, like, the third week of that, I turned it into some high school sports kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
By the fifth or sixth week, Murphy, we were just talking all sports. It had nothing to do with high school at all. We kind of changed the entire show. I had guys bringing in papers back then because we didn't deal a lot with computers. They were printing out scores from around Major League Baseball. And we pretty much turned it upside down, but she loved it.
Nice.
And that was my real main broadcast, my first main broadcast.
It was a little bit better than Boom Goes the Dynamite then.
Yeah. So, I mean, throughout South Florida, that was my first big thing. And then had my own show throughout both colleges in New Hampshire and also at Lynn University in Boca. And just kind of went from there.
So now you're in the mix. You're one of the heavy hitters in South Florida. You get to hang with all the other sports figures down here, and you get to interview the guys. So what are some memorable, both good and bad? Or let's start first with a good one. What's like at the top of your memory bank that you think, wow, that was really cool that I got to do that? Because I know I have a few of those from back in the day, but I wanted to hear yours.
Well, when I first got into this stuff as well, going into the clubhouses and going into some of the locker rooms.
Oh yeah.
Not necessarily just speaking to athletes and celebrities on the phone, but actually meeting them in person and sitting down with them. Guys from like Barry Bonds, you know, back 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Right.
To, your athlete now. And I mean, off the top of my head, I mean, speaking with Barry Bonds, he was a cool guy. I even saw him out in public, I think, in Disney World one night, and he knew who I was, came up to me, hey, Andy, how you doing?
Now, that's got to be cool, especially if you have somebody with you that might really impress them, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I was actually with someone that night. I think it was at Wide World of Sports in Disney World when it had first opened, or a couple years after that. And
oh, that cool little league building replica place they build, right?
Yeah, and I think there's some sort of boardwalk around
there. Yeah, 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 yeah. Boardwalk and baseball. That's what it was.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. Very good memory there.
Yep.
So, you know, speaking with Barry Bonds, that was always that was nice. And I've done I've spoken with Hall of Famers before, like Frank Robinson. Obviously, new Hall of Famer just inducted was Andre Dawson. As far as memories, I mean, to me, being next to these guys and starting to know, you know, who they are and that they're just really regular people, I kind of don't get starstruck anymore.
Right.
I don't know if it's just, you know, being in the business and talking to these guys every day. I mean, even a Dwayne Wade, speaking to him on the phone, and surely friends will be like, wow, you spoke to Dwayne Wade. And I'm not trying to be like so confident about the job or anything, but it just it's part of the everyday nature. It's just part of the business. And once you go through a few months of it, it's kind of like, okay, I have to do this again, while other people are saying, wow, I wish I was doing this.
Have you ever thought in the back of your mind when you're talking to somebody, though, that they're trying to present themselves in a light to you, you know, for the sake of their image, and that maybe if it was just a random person, they wouldn't be treating you like that?
Actually, yeah. I mean, that does happen. And kind of when I'm doing an interview on my program, I kind of tend to want to loosen them up sometimes.
Sure.
Sometimes you'll get the guy with a short answer, or you'll get a guy that you can just sense on the other side is really, really stiff.
Yeah, yeah.
And that doesn't make a great interview. I mean, how long can that last? It's going to last 5 minutes, and it's probably going to be the worst piece of work you've ever done.
Right.
So, I try to throw some comedy in there, see if they bite. Sometimes they don't. I mean, sometimes you'll have interviews that you tell the webmaster, hey, you know, don't even put that one up on the website.
Right.
But going through them throughout the months, I try to have as much fun with every interview as possible. And if an interview goes bad, and look, you know, sometimes they do, I just try to make a joke out of it and just make it fun for the listeners and kind of tend to what the listeners think, because, you know, I'm in my car a lot too, driving back and forth to work, and I listen to radio, I listen to sports radio, and I know what other people are thinking. I know what I'm thinking when I'm driving, and I just try to relate to the everyday listener in their vehicle, and try to make it comical if sometimes something goes wrong.
Right, you know, and I think sometimes we overlook the fact that a lot of times when we meet these guys, we're surprised to find out how young and, you know, I don't know what the word is, innocent's not the right word, but young and sort of gun-shy they are. And you know, sometimes they're just nervous, and getting them over the fact that being nervous is kind of an accomplishment. They're afraid of they might say something stupid, so they're being real short with their words, and you kind of got to dig it out of them. Like sometimes when I get to see these Panthers players up close and go, wow, you're a child. You know, sitting in the chair watching you play, you're this iconic figure with this great jersey number on, and then you see him, wow, you're just a regular little kid playing out there, you know?
It's hard for me to believe that when I speak to a lot of these guys that they're almost all younger than me.
Oh, I know. Well, that's they're just easily all younger
like,
than me,
wow.
Andy. Yeah.
It's only going to get worse.
A lot of them are young enough to be my child, so that's a very scary thing.
It's scary when you go to a sporting event, like you go to a Florida Panthers game in hockey. I mean, in hockey, they're especially young. And you look up on the scoreboard, and you see that these kids literally are being born in the late 80s.
It's ridiculous.
And some, you know, it's just like, wow, really? It's quite unbelievable.
We're starting to see, we were in, it's funny that you say that, we were commenting in Finland when the Panthers played a preseason game against the one of the teams over outside of Helsinki. The team, there were 12 players on the team that were born 1990 or later.
Wow.
So it was pretty. Yeah,
that's something else.
It's just hard to even relate to.
Time flies.
You're one of the generation that's been, I guess you said you had a brief period of time where you didn't have such assistance from the computer, but so it hasn't been computer by your side the entire time, right?
No, you know what? I mean, I think about this every now and then when I'm on the internet, and I recall back in high school, I'll never forget this, I went into the library, and I mean, with the internet today, I'm on the internet all the time. I mean, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm all over the place on the internet. I know the ups and downs, and I just always recall that back in high school, I went into the library one day, and I had absolutely no idea how to surf or how to browse a page.
Right.
And I had no idea. I had to call over the librarian and say, you know what, the bottom of this thing is cut off. How do I see the rest of the article? And they had to show me how to scroll down.
Oh, wow. How
and,
about
I mean,
that?
The internet, to me, kind of came in right, I guess, right around my junior year of high school.
Well, just in a nick of time for you to be able to master it, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, wow,
because now these kids that come up today have no choice. It's just there all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, back then, look, we didn't have the internet, we didn't have cell phones. I mean,
right.
it was pagers. You know?
No, I know.
Pagers and payphones.
Yeah, believe me, I know. When I first started this business, none of the stuff that we did was as a music DJ that I was doing. It was all in cards, and there was no computers in the room at all. It was just, sift through the cards, pick out a song, put the card in the back of the category and all that. It's just very, very weird how everything's changed. We're talking to Andy Slater, who's with 640 WFTL. I don't really do a lot of that recall of who the guest is on this show. I got to make more of a habit of it, although being the podcast thing packaged like that, it's got the name on it anyway, so it's not that important. Now I'm talking inside stuff with you.
It happens.
No. But I was going to touch more a little bit on this this technology thing and remember something else, but it's kind of slipping my mind now. You now being all over the internet, not only are you versed in having the Google right by your side and being able to answer a tricky caller that comes in by just hitting a couple of clicks, but you're all over Facebook. You're one of those people that's really taken Facebook and turned it into something more than just to, see how your long lost friends are doing. But you're constantly giving your Facebook friends, and there's a ton of them, a nice taste of American culture and what's going on. You're constantly taking photos with your phone and then uploading them, and they're the littlest, the tiniest little things that we always get amused about and then forget about 2 minutes later, but you're putting it up there and it's being commented on. When did that start? It's awesome. You probably should try to take that to the next level, and I don't know how to package that up and make some money for you.
Well, I appreciate that. Anytime I'm out, I always happen to see weird things. Things I'm like, wow, what in the world is this person doing? Or that sign's messed up. And my cell phone has so many pictures in it. I don't even know how many. I have to get a new memory card probably.
From these posts that you make, I could tell that you're okay. There's many things that we have in common about this, because I always giggle about it when I see it. You're a stickler for the English language when it's when it's misused and abused. You're pointing it right out.
Yes.
You're a big license plate guy. You're into getting hidden messages in license plates, and then you've even taken pictures of how the people's eating habits at tables and been discreet and taken a picture and uploaded something that somebody was doing strange with their meal. It's great.
Yeah, whether it's at a restaurant, whether it's somewhere on the road, which probably is not safe. I don't advise anyone else to do that.
No. Of course, you're always parked when you're taking those pictures.
Of course, absolutely, right. Without a doubt. I just always seem to be taking pictures. There's always something happening around me. But not only the pictures, as far as news stories that come out, if I hear something, I just like letting all the friends on my Facebook page know, either if they can relate to it or not. Probably affects maybe one of them, or
right.
Kind of like the entertainment stuff and the real news stuff, things that you would see on CNN. Regardless of what it is, if you're going to go home that night and hear about it, this way at least when you're on your way home, or if you're at work and you don't have real access to much, maybe besides your cell phone, and you browse your Facebook or Twitter on your cell phone, be like, hey, I didn't know that. Now I know that, that news just came out. And,
right.
And I think people like that. You know, they like hearing what's going on. It's kind of as soon as it's happening, or as quick as possible.
But I like how you keep people in check. If you're a business owner out there and you're getting ready to put a sign up outside your store and you want to, and you're
right.
going to put an apostrophe in the wrong place, Andy's going to find it and call you out on it. So,
there was a sign on the Florida Turnpike and also some of the other expressways, and it was for the campaign of Move Over for the Emergency Vehicle.
Uh-huh.
And on the bottom of the sign it says it's the law, and it should be it is the law, meaning that there should be an apostrophe after the T before the S.
Right.
And I'm telling you, for a year and a half it always said ITS, and I'm thinking, you know what, younger kids, and they may look at the sign and I'm the grammar type. Everybody should know the right way to put
yep.
it. And I mean, we're talking about real, small stuff here. And we're
yeah, but it's the English language, man. Come on.
Exactly. It should be correct. And you know what? I said no one else is going to do anything about this. So I made a couple phone calls, and I got some return calls saying that first they had no idea. The people had no idea what I was talking about. They said it was okay. They said they would look into it. I mean, seriously, no one had a clue. And
bless your heart for making that call, man. Nobody makes that call.
No, that's what I said. You know, I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one where if I drive by in 2 weeks from now and it's an apostrophe, I made the difference. You know, I made somebody a little bit smarter that drove, by that sign and know it was correct.
You know, ironically, you say it's sad because, you know, kids might see that and then start, getting the wrong idea on how to use the English language. The truth is, it was probably a kid in the marketing department that actually mocked that up for the first time and it stayed that way. So, you know.
So I'm telling you, this was about a year and a half ago. And after 3 weeks of phone calls, it never got changed. I said, you know what, the heck with this. They're not changing it. I don't know what they're doing. They just don't care. And the message kind of came down for about 6 months, and they put up a different message. So about a month ago, the message came back up, and once again, it was no apostrophe.
Wow.
So I wrote something about it. I took a picture, and I put it up on my Twitter page. And with Twitter, things can go all over the place, and other people see it now. It's a little bit bigger now than it was a year and a half ago when I sent something like that out. And sure enough, about a week and a half ago, I passed by, and you could pass by tomorrow on the turnpike. Everyone will see it. It's got the apostrophe up there, and I want to say that, you know what?
Good for you.
I had something to do with that.
Now, so you didn't go so far as to take that out and turn it into an afternoon on your show?
No, I didn't. You know what, though? On my show, I always talk about how people drive with their hazards on in the rain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
And not only is that illegal, but it makes
dangerous.
It less safe. People think it's safer because we could see them. But you know what? If you have your hazard lights on, what happens if you're trying to make a left or make a right?
Right.
The person behind you can't see because it's the same.
Exactly
same
right.
Light. And people right now are probably saying, wow, doesn't this guy have anything better to do? But I kind of squeeze this in between my sports talk from 12 to 3.
Yeah, you do. Because you pass a lot of things on your way to and from work, and we all get to see it. It's fantastic stuff. All right, so let's get the necessary plugs out there. You're on WFTL 6. Those call letters have been around for years, and they've moved around the dial many, many times, right?
Yeah, they absolutely have. Right now they're on 640. We also have a sister station, a new station, 850.
Right.
But I'm on 640 Sports, and I'm on Monday through Friday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. And my show, pretty much all sports, but like I said earlier, I try to fit everyday life into it, whether it be maybe a television show that everyone was watching the night before, whether it be something idiotic I see at a restaurant.
Yeah, you got to.
You know, it's just something that people can relate to, everyday life, and that's what I kind of have on the show. Not just talking statistics for 3 hours.
Yeah, because I think at some point you just get loaded up with statistics and boring talk about, you know, free agents and all that thing, and then you just explode after a while and go, you know what, you people need more of a life than this. Let's talk some pop culture, you know?
Without a doubt. So I like tying everyday life into the show, and so far everything's been pretty good. It's getting a real good response.
Awesome. Catch Andy Slater weekdays noon to 3. Is that right? Am I getting that right?
Yep, you're right.
I just want to make sure we get the
3 Eastern time.
We get the triple. Oh, yeah, and you can catch them online, too, for anybody that's listening anywhere else outside the area. You can catch them online, I guess, at WFTL.com.
WFTLsports.com, or you can go to theslatershow.com.
Great. Thanks for being on the show, Andy. You're the best, man, for joining me.
Thanks for having me again, man. Best of luck. Your show's great.
And we'll have to, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. We'll have to talk again as hockey season approaches on your
Absolutely.
Show. All right, buddy. Take care.
Yeah, you do the same. Thanks.
All right, bud. Andy Slater on the show today. Join us again tomorrow for another compelling interview right here at BillMurphyShow.com.
Log on each weekday for another edition of The Bill Murphy Show at BillMurphyShow.com. If you'd like to be a guest, send an email to Murph at BillMurphyShow.com. That's MURPH at BillMurphyShow.com. A Murphonics Media Production.